The message this morning is the third message in a series of six messages, which we are calling Back to the Basics. Two Sundays ago, I preached to you on Worship 101, and last Sunday, Witness 101, and today, Prayer 101, and over the next three Sundays, Bible, Giving, and Missions. I have felt for some months now a deep impression from the Holy Spirit that I needed to go back and review some things that we've considered in days gone by. I sense this for a couple of reasons. First of all, some of you are new to the faith and new to Lakeview, and you have not been instructed perhaps in these basics of the Christian faith. And secondly, some of you know this, but you've ceased to practice these basic fundamental disciplines of the Christian life. And my prayer is that the Holy Spirit will take these simple messages that we are sharing on Sunday morning and call all of us to practice the basics of what it means to know the Lord Jesus Christ and walk in fellowship, in intimate fellowship with Him. Now today, prayer 101. Prayer 101. It is impossible for a Christian to live the kind of effective, fruitful, Christ-exalting life that he should live apart from a consistent prayer life. And so this morning we want to talk about prayer, the basics of prayer. Let me just give you the simplest definition I know of all. Prayer is talking to God. It is just communing with God. There's so much we could say about this. I have preached in years gone by series of sermons on prayer. But today, just the basics. Now, just as we did last Sunday and the Sunday before, I want to ask two questions and try to answer those two questions. The why question and the how question. The why question is, why do we pray? Why should you and I take prayer seriously? Why should we make it our ambition to pray on a regular, consistent, daily basis? And the second question is, how? How do we go about it? Are there some practical suggestions that we can incorporate into our personal, private prayer time that will enhance our prayer time and make our prayer effective? First of all, the why question, why we ought to pray, why you and I, as professing followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, ought to be consistent men and women of prayer. Let me give you four reasons. Number one, the example of Jesus. You and I want to be like Jesus. Our consuming passion is to be conformed to the likeness of the Son of God. If you and I will be like Jesus, we will have to be men and women of prayer. Now, I could give you a number of references, but I want you to look with me, first of all, in Mark chapter 1, verse 35. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verse 35. And while you're finding that, may I just say that a good study for all of us would be to just go through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and just note all the different times and occasions in which Jesus prayed. But just this one this morning. Mark tells us that very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Now, if the Son of God, the one who is co-equal and co-eternal with God the Father and God the Spirit, during the days of His earthly ministry, had a sense of need to go and spend time in prayer with the Father, how much more do you and I? Prayer is not optional if we're going to be the people that God has called us and redeemed us to be. Prayer is essential. Jesus prayed. Jesus' days were filled with prayer. Jesus oft times prayed alone. And on other occasions, Jesus prayed in the company of other people. We see in Mark chapter 1, Jesus prayed before daybreak. It was still dark, and Jesus began this day in prayer. We read on other occasions that Jesus spent entire nights in prayer. Jesus was preeminently a man of prayer. It is instructive, I believe, that in the days of Jesus' public ministry, at least according to what we have revealed to us in the Gospels, there's only one request that the disciples ever made of Jesus that they would teach them. And it was to pray. They said, "Lord, teach us to pray." They saw something in the prayer life of Jesus that was so dynamic and so magnetic that they wanted to be able to pray like Jesus prayed. "Lord, teach us to pray." So why should you and I pray? Because we want to follow the example of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let me give you a second reason. Not just the example of Jesus, but number two, the command of Jesus. We have in Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, verse 1, clear instructions from Jesus about prayer. Look in Luke 18, verse 1. Now here Jesus is teaching on prayer, and he uses a parable to teach us to be persistent in our prayers, to pray and not give up. But he begins it, or I should say that Luke says it this way. Luke 18, 1. "Then Jesus told his disciples a parable that they should always pray and not give up." Jesus commands us to pray. Now, he is our commander in chief. And the only honorable response to the Lord Jesus is to obey. Anything less brings dishonor to our Lord and our Savior. Now, I've given you two reasons: the example of Jesus and the command of Jesus. Either one of those ought to be enough. But two makes them doubly so. Let me give you a third. We ought to pray because answered prayer glorifies God. Look in John 14, verse 13. Answered prayer glorifies God. On the night before Jesus was crucified, he gathered with his disciples in the upper room, and he gave them this wise instruction that you and I know as the upper room discourse. John 14 is a part of that. And in John chapter 14, verse 13, Jesus said to his disciples, and through them to us, "And I will do whatever you ask in my name." Jesus said, here's a wonderful promise. "Whatever you ask of me in my name, that I will do, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father." When we pray, when we come and make our request known of God, when we ask of the Father, and God in heaven hears and answers our prayers, that glorifies God. Now, all that we do, whether we eat or drink or whatever we do, ought to be to the glory of God. But few things give God greater glory than when God's people humbly come to Him in prayer with their requests and lay out their requests before God. And then when God answers the prayer, they give testimony to say, "God supplied my need. I found myself in a difficult situation, but I didn't worry. I trusted God. I waited on God. And God answered my prayer." That glorifies God. Answered prayer glorifies God. But if we don't pray those prayers, then they're not going to be answered. And then God will not receive the glory that He ought to receive because we, you and I, refuse to pray. Answered prayer brings glory to the Lord. Let me give you a fourth reason. Prayer releases God's power. Prayer releases the power of God in our lives and in the lives of those for whom we pray. Look in James chapter 5. James 5, verses 16, 17, and 18. Now, James, the half-brother of our Lord, pens these words here in verse 16 and following. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. God's people pray, and God answers their prayer, and God's power is released in their lives, released in their circumstances, whatever it may be. And then in verses 17 and 18, James gives to us an illustration of the power of God released through the life of Elijah the prophet. Look in verse 17. Elijah was a man just like us. Now that's encouraging to me to know that Elijah's just like me. With all my weaknesses and frailties, so was Elijah. He's a man just like you and me. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain for 3.5 years. God answered Elijah's prayer. God's power was released through Elijah's prayer so that it didn't rain for 3.5 years. Verse 18. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crop. First, Elijah prays that it will not rain, and God answers his prayer, and it does not rain. And then Elijah prays that it will rain, and then it does rain. And so we see the power of God released in the physical universe, in nature, in answer to the prayers of Elijah. I could give you other reasons, but let me just review those four. Why should we pray? Because of the example of Jesus. Why should we pray? Because of the command of Jesus. Why should you and I pray? Because answered prayer glorifies God. Why should we pray? Because prayer releases God's power. Now, I don't want to say any more about that, because I'm persuaded that for those of us in this room this morning, we don't need to be persuaded that prayer is effective. We believe that. But we don't pray as we ought. And a part of the reason, I believe, is sometimes we don't know how to pray. I mean, have you ever gone to the private place of prayer and you've prayed about anything and everything you can think of, and you look at your watch and maybe 3, 4, or 5 minutes at most have transpired. You've already prayed out. You know, you're going to spend a whole 30 minutes in prayer and you didn't even make 5. So I want to just review for some of you, and for others of you this will be new and fresh, but for all of us we need to hear it from time to time, some practical steps that you and I can take in our prayer time. Now I'm talking about our personal, private prayer time. This is not our corporate prayer time. Corporate prayer is absolutely indispensable to the life and health and vitality of church. And we ought to, and we can do far better in praying corporately. But this is private prayer time. I'm persuaded the reason that we do not as well as we ought corporately, and why so few people are involved in our corporate prayer time, is because so few people don't really have much of a private prayer time. You don't want to pray with brothers and sisters in a corporate setting if you don't have much of a private prayer time the other days of the week. So I believe if you will heed and hear these practical suggestions that I'm going to suggest this morning, it'll change your life, and so that you won't want to stay away from the stated times of corporate prayer. How should we pray? Well, we ought to pray alone. You need to find a place where you can be alone, because I suggest you ought to pray aloud. When you're praying, does your mind gather wool? Do you think about your grocery list? Do you think about errands you need to run, phone calls you need to return, letters you need to answer? things, class assignments you need to take care of. You know, you set aside 30 minutes to pray, and then, you know, you start off, and then the next thing you know, you're somewhere else, and then you're somewhere else, and then you're somewhere else, and you're far, far from where you ought to be. For me, it's helpful to pray out loud. If I can pray out loud, I can be more focused. So find a place where you can be alone and pray out loud. Now, I want to give you four kinds of prayers that I suggest that you ought to include in your personal, private prayer time. And I believe that most times we ought to pray them in the order I'm going to give them to you. But sometimes you may need to reverse the order. And there'll be sometimes you'll have three of these components of prayer and not four. Or two. Or maybe just one. Don't be rigid so that your time of prayer becomes something that's a duty. It ought to be a delight to be able to come into the presence of God and spend time with the Creator, God of this universe. So don't beat yourself up on this issue if you don't do all four of these every time you pray. But I think it's a general rule. It's wise to incorporate some of all of this in all of our prayer time. Okay. Now, I've been doing this since I was a student in college. I learned this from a little book by John Bisogno, which I read in 1968. The title of the book is The Power of Positive Praying. And I don't think it's in print anymore, but if it is and you see it in a bookstore, I strongly encourage you to get it. But let me just give them to you quickly, and then I'm going to talk about them. First type of prayer, praise. Number two, thanksgiving. Number three, confession. Number four, asking. That's right out of Bisogno's book. Now, you've heard me do the Acts acrostic, and you've heard me do some other stuff around here, but I'm just keeping it real simple today. All right, number one, how should we pray? We ought to pray prayers of praise. Look in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Prayers of praise. Did I say verse 5? I should have said verse 15. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. A 15 and a 5 look a lot alike, don't they, you know? Just one little number missing there. Hebrews 13, verse 15. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess His name. There it is. Praise is a type of prayer. Now, praise, let me just give you a definition of praise. Praise is bragging on God. That's all it is, just bragging on God. Now, you could brag on me all out of proportion to who I am and my worth, okay? We could do that, either, any of us. But you can never over-brag on God. You can never praise God too much. And we're admonished here in Hebrews 13, verse 15, to offer to God a sacrifice of praise. What is it? It is the fruit of our lips. We offer to Him from our lips the sacrifice of praise. Now, when we praise God, we are focusing on who God is. Praise deals with the character of God. Praise deals with the attributes of God. He is Father, He is Son, He is Spirit. And we are to praise His name. His name represents His character. Now, I suggest that in most of our private prayer times, we begin with praise. We begin on high. Sometimes you may need to begin with another kind of prayer, but for the most part, we begin here. Now, how shall we praise God? Well, we can praise Him in our own words, our own vocabulary. If we're walking with God, we're in the Scriptures, we, we're growing in the grace of God. We know more and more about God. We should be able to praise God with our own words. Lord, I love You. I adore You. I exalt You. I magnify You. And then I believe it's helpful for us to focus on the various persons of the Godhead. You know, there's mystery there. God is Father, Son, and Spirit. He is three in one, one in three. I don't know about you, but I can't get my little finite mind around that. But I can tell you, I can glory in that, and I can give praise to the Father, and I can give praise to the Son, and I can give praise to the Spirit. And it might be on one day, you might just focus on God the Father, and you praise the Father for His holiness, or you praise Him for His truthfulness, His trustworthiness. You praise Him for His faithfulness. You praise Him for His mercy and His long suffering, and His patience and His kindness and His grace and His goodness. And just focus on these attributes of God the Father. It might be the next day you're focusing on God the Son. And so you praise the Lord Jesus for His supernatural birth. You praise Him for His sinless life. You praise Him for His amazing teachings. You praise Him for His mighty miracles that He performed during the days of His earthly ministry. You praise Him for His substitutionary atoning death on the cross that cleanses us from our sins. You praise Him for His resurrection from the dead. You praise Him for His ascension. You praise Him for the promise of His soon return. We praise Him. Or you might want to praise the Lord Jesus. You might want to use some of those I am sayings of Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, I praise You because You are the vine. And just focus on that. Or I praise You, Lord Jesus, You are the way, the truth, and the life. Or You said, I am the good shepherd. Or I am the bread of life. I am the living water. And just use these attributes of the Lord Jesus Christ to lift your voice to God the Son in praise. And then praise the Spirit. We praise God the Holy Spirit. He baptizes us into the body of Christ. He fills us that we might live victoriously. He gifts us for ministry. He has sealed us on the day of redemption. His presence within us is the deposit guaranteeing our eternal salvation. And so we focus on the attributes of God the Spirit. But in your own words, just praise God. Father, Son, Spirit. In your prayer time. Prayers of praise. The second way to praise God is to use the Word of God. The Bible. At our conference a few weeks ago with Don Whitney, we were instructed in this, but for many of us, we were instructed in this 27 years ago by a man who came from California to teach us. I don't even remember his name now, but that's where I learned it. Just use the Word of God. You can be sure that when you're praying the Word of God, you are praying the will of God. Now, God has given us a book almost exclusively devoted to prayers of praise, the Psalms. And just you can go to the Psalms and just read the Psalms, read them verse by verse, and let them become for you a catalyst to focus your thoughts on God and to pray the Psalms back to the Lord. But there are other passages of praise in the Bible that can help us. You might want to jot these down. Exodus chapter 15, 1 Chronicles chapter 29, Isaiah chapter 12, 2 Samuel 22, Revelation 4, 5, and 19. You probably didn't write all that down, so I'm going to give it to you again. Exodus 15, 1 Chronicles 29, Isaiah 12, 2 Samuel 22, Revelation chapters 4, 5, and 19. Those are some passages that we can use to help us praise the Lord. So I've suggested use your own words. Use the Bible. Next, songs. Use songs to praise the Lord. Just sing to the Lord. Now you understand why I think you ought to pray alone. You know, because most of us are a little self-conscious about that. Just singing by ourselves, somebody might hear us. In the great congregation, it's not a big deal, but you know, here I'm singing. In the province of God, I have a prayer closet where I can close the door and sing to the Lord full volume. Nobody hears me but God. Sing to the Lord. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Great songs of praise, hymns of praise. My Jesus, I love Thee. I know Thou art mine. For Thee, all the follies of sin, I resign. Just sing to God. Sing your heart to God. Sing your praise to Him. I love You, Lord, and I lift my voice. Or I exalt Thee. There's so many wonderful old songs and new songs that are being written day by day to help us sing our praise to the Lord. So the first kind of prayer I'm suggesting that we include in our private prayer time is prayers of praise. Just bragging on God, who He is. It is good to praise the Lord alone. Next, prayers of thanksgiving. Prayers of thanksgiving. Look in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Now, while you're finding that, I want you to watch. I want you to get this. We said that prayer focuses on who God is. Thanksgiving focuses on what God has done. There is a difference. We praise God for who He is. He is Father, Son, and Spirit. He is holy and righteous, faithful and true, gracious and merciful. We praise Him for who He is, His character. We thank Him for what He has done, His activity, His works. Okay? Now look in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. We ought to thank God. Now James said, James 1:17, every good and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights. Thank Him. Every good thing that you and I have, everything that's good has come from God. We ought to thank Him. May I suggest this morning that thanklessness is sin by default. When we refuse to give God thanks, we sin. He is the source of all good things in our lives. Let us continually give Him thanks. How shall I thank the Lord? Well, let me give you several practical ways to thank the Lord. Number one, we thank Him for physical blessings. Physical blessings, such as life. You and I are here today. We're breathing. Our hearts beating by the grace of God. There's not a thing that any one of us in this room can do to make our heart beat one more time. It is the grace of God. Have you thanked God for physical life? Do you thank Him for good health? Do you thank Him that you can put one foot in front of another, that you have the strength and the ability to walk? Some don't. Most of us do. When's the last time you thanked God? Do you thank Him that you can hear? Some can't. Do you thank Him that you can see? Some are blind. Without my eyeglasses, I see very little. I have very poor vision. And even with eyeglasses, it's not normal. But it's almost normal. You can call me four eyes, I don't care. It won't hurt my feelings. I want to be able to see. It didn't hurt my feelings when I was a kid growing up wearing glasses. I thank God for eyes. I'm grateful. I can see. You thank God you can smell. Do you have a favorite smell? I like the smell of chocolate chip cookies baking in the oven. I like that smell. I can get into that. Hint to the lady in the choir. And she does a great job taking care of the pastor. I want you to know that. She's incredible. But not only do I like to smell them baking, but I like the way they taste when they come out of the oven. That's a special taste. Some people don't have the ability to smell or taste. Do you? Every now and again, say, God, thank you. Thank you. Thank God for physical blessings. Number next, thank God for material blessings. We have daily bread to eat. Some people don't. You and I do. Are you thankful? We have clothes to wear. Some people don't. Thank God for the clothes you have to wear. Do you have a roof over your head? Some people don't. Thank God for that. So I work hard for that. I deserve my clothes, my food, shelter I have. I've worked for decades to have all the stuff I have. I don't have to thank God for that. Yeah, you do. Who gave you the strength to work? Who gave you a sound mind to think? Who gave you the abilities and the talents to get out in the workplace and make a living? God. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. Thank Him for His good gifts. For many years now, I've learned to thank God for the creature comforts. Traveling in the developing world, you don't always have creature comforts, and you learn to appreciate things like air conditioning in the summertime and central heat in the wintertime. I almost never take a hot shower in the wintertime without thanking God for a hot shower while I'm taking the shower. I mean, when it's 25 degrees outside on a February morning, if my only option was a cold shower, I would just stink. I like a cold shower after I've just mowed the lawn, but I don't like a cold shower when I just rolled out of bed at 5:30 on February morning. I like a hot shower. You thank God for indoor plumbing, have you? There are a few left in our church who remember what it was like before we had indoor plumbing. I'm not one of them. Let's just do a survey. I think I can do it in this hour. I don't think I can do it in the next hour. I don't think it'll be anybody next hour. If you ever lived in a house that had an outhouse, raise your hand. Any one? Oh, look at here. Son, you may be the majority. Look at this. I didn't, thank God. My grandmother had one. My great-grandmother. We didn't see her but once a year at the big family reunion in North Alabama. She had a double-seater. I remember that. It didn't smell good either. I remember that, too. I'm not trying to be crass. I'm just trying to say there are hundreds of millions of people in this world that don't have indoor toilet. You do. Now, what caused you to be born in the United States and not somewhere else where God's grace? Give Him thanks. Give Him thanks. Number next, relational blessings. You have a wife or husband that loves you? Thank God. You have family members that love you, sons and daughters, parents that love you, thank God. You have friends that love you, thank God. Relational blessings. You know, if you have a relationship with God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have loving relationships with family members and a few loving relationships with friends, and you have good health, what else is there? That's it right there. Give God thanks. Number next, spiritual blessings. Spiritual blessings. Salvation. Are you saved? You got to thank God for that every single day. You may not thank God for indoor plumbing every day, but you ought to thank God that He saved you every day the sun rises. for the forgiveness of your sins, for eternal life, for spiritual gifts that God has given you, for the fact that God has called you to be involved in service in His church, for brothers and sisters in the family of God, all of these spiritual blessings, we ought to thank God for them. Now, I've already only talked now about praise and thanksgiving. You see, you can spend more than 3 or 4 minutes in prayer if you pray as you ought to pray. See? So, prayers of praise, prayers of thanksgiving. We praise God for who He is. We thank Him for what He's done. Number next, prayers of confession. Confession of what? Confession of sin. Look in Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2. There's a principle here that we would be wise to heed and to incorporate in our walk with God. Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. Surely the Lord is not too short to save, nor His ear too dull to hear our prayers. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you so that He will not hear. So often our prayers are hindered because we have allowed sin to come between us and God. And the Lord says through His prophet Isaiah, look again in verse 2, your sins have hidden His face from you so that He will not hear. It's not that He doesn't hear the request, but He will not hear with the intent to answer. We oftentimes don't have our prayers answered because sin is in our lives. Now, how do we deal with that? 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. I'll let you find it. I hope most of you have committed it to memory a long time ago, but I'll just give you a moment to find it. If you've not memorized any of these verses I've used, these would be good verses to commit to memory. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and will purify us or cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, when we come to Christ, we are translated from the kingdom of darkness into light, from death to life. We become the sons and daughters of God. We are justified by the grace of God. And our position is that we are as righteous as Jesus is righteous. That's our position. But what we desire to do is that our practice would measure up to our position so that we're experiencing practical righteousness. Now, we know that we will sin. We all sin. And in fact, John says if we say we don't sin, we make Him out to be a liar. Make God out to be a liar because we sin after conversion. But when we sin, we want to confess those sins to God. Now, I believe the confession of our sin ought to be as public as the knowledge of our sin. If I've just sinned against God, I confess only to God. But if I've sinned against you, I confess to God, but I also go and ask your forgiveness. If I've sinned against the entire congregation, I ask God's forgiveness, I ask the entire congregation's forgiveness. But I'm talking about our personal private prayer time. And we ought to just pray something like the psalmist prayed, Lord, search me and try me and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Holy Spirit, reveal to me sins in my life that I'm unaware of so that I can repent of them and forsake them and confess them and be cleansed. Because sin hinders intimacy with God. And so we confess our sins and we claim the promise of 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, that He will purify us from all unrighteousness. And that leads me to the fourth and final way of prayer, asking. Asking. Now, you know, we're told in Isaiah 59 that the Lord will not hear us because of our iniquities, but if our sins are confessed, then the Lord will hear us and answer us. So we must pray prayers of asking. Look in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. You remember that Matthew 7 is a part of the greatest sermon ever preached, which is called the Sermon on the Mount. by the greatest preacher who ever preached, the Lord Jesus. It's the best manual on discipleship I know right there. Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. It's a kingdom manifesto. Now, chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. Jesus said, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be open." There it is. We are to pray, according to the Lord Jesus, prayers of asking. And we are to ask and keep on asking. And we are to seek and keep on seeking. And we are to knock and keep on knocking. We are to be persistent in our prayers. Sometimes God answers our prayers immediately. Sometimes God does not answer our prayers for many years. But if we are praying in the will of God, we need to ask and keep on asking, as Jesus commanded us here. Usually when we think about prayer, we think about asking. I'm praying, I'm asking God to do a certain something. Asking. Now, what do we pray about? We can pray about personal needs. You ought to pray about personal needs. Whatever your immediate needs are, pray about those. Pray for your family. Pray Scripture for your family. For my grandchildren, I pray Luke 2:52. "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man." I pray for my grandchildren that verse of Scripture. I pray it by name for them. Pray for your church. Pray for your pastor. And all of those on our equipping staff and all of us who serve on staff here, we need your prayers. I plead with you. I'm asking you. I'm begging you. Pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me every day, but especially pray for me on Saturday night and Sunday. Pray for my sermon preparation. Pray for my preaching. Pray for God's anointing. Pray for wisdom and discernment for your pastor. Pray for the lost to be saved. Pray for them by name. Pray for missionaries by name. Get on some missionary's prayer newsletter list and find out what their prayer requests are. So we have 80 plus out of our church. Just ask John West. He'll give you a name of one. You can pray for them. You can't maybe pray for all of those things on a regular basis, but you can focus in on one or two. Pray for the nations. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We're commanded in Scripture to do that. Pray for workers for the harvest. Jesus said, "Ask the Lord of the harvest to raise up workers." Ask God to raise up missionaries out of this church. I'm praying for 200 missionaries from Lakeview. Pray for your president, your governor, your mayor, your elected officials, the justices of the Supreme Court and all the lesser courts. We're told in 1 Timothy 2 to pray for kings and those who are in authority. There's so much we can pray for and we ought to pray for that will bless those for whom we pray and will transform us as well. What can we pray about? Pray about everything. It doesn't matter. Just pray about it all. That's what Paul told the church in Philippi. Don't be anxious about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Brothers and sisters, prayer is indispensable. Absolutely indispensable in the life of the sons and daughters of God. Therefore, let us pray. I want to pray for us. God, our Father, I pray that all